All right. Thank you, Tommy. And once again, good morning, everyone. And we will go ahead and start the sermon. Today is May the 16th, 2015, over here in Jackson, Tennessee. The title for today's sermon is Guard God's Truth. Guard God's Truth. And that's what kind of sparked this sermon, is that we've been hearing on the radio and the TV all across the nation of the United States here, there are laws that are being passed in almost every state across the country here that are really going against God. They are trying to filter God out of everyday life, and the gay people, gay lesbian people, are trying to say that, you know, that we want you to accept us as we are, which goes against God's truth and what God thinks about it. And we know what he thinks about it. We know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And also, I think if they start passing all of these laws across the country, it may come down to the time where there's going to be a famine of the word, which is predicted in the Bible. That's one of the prophecies in the end times, is that there will be a famine of the word. Now, if it may come down to where they'll say, well, you know, it's against the law for any of God's ministers to be speaking against homosexuality or anything else, because it may offend somebody, and we don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. It may come a time when God's church may have to go underground in order to continue to preach God's truth and to speak God's truth. We don't know. But anyway, we need to be guarding God's truth in our life. We need to be holding fast, extremely fast, to what God has taught us. And we know from years and years ago, as we studied into God's truth, that we are to turn to all the pages in our Bible, and we prove it from the Bible. We don't speak anything or teach anything that is not in the Bible. We don't have our own interpretation, so to speak, where we start changing things around or anything like that. But God wants us to prove all things from his Bible by turning to the Scriptures and learning his truth. Like I said, you know, there are things every day on the 6 o'clock news in the evening there, and that are pointing toward the direction where they want to omit God completely. And if you think about it, they have no fear of God. They have no fear of God. They have lack of knowledge of who God is, what God has been doing, what God has created, and what God's plan of salvation is. God is in control, and they have no fear of God. So we have to make sure that we guard God's truth within ourselves, because we want to be in God's family and his coming kingdom. And by obeying his Sabbath day, by obeying his holy days, speaking of the holy days, we do have a holy day coming up that's going to be on Sunday. Now, of course, we keep the Sabbath Friday night sundown till Saturday night sundown, but the way that it works out in God's calendar, Pentecost will be next Sunday on the 24th. Mr. Kellers will be over here speaking for Pentecost next Sunday, next Sunday morning, just like we're meeting here right now. And so make sure you mark your calendar for that, of course. There are days that the holy days do fall on a Sunday, but that's the way God's calendar is, and that's the way he works it out. All of us had better take an inventory. We should all take an inventory of the basic truths of God. We need to look into the Bible and know what God expects of us, knows what God wants us to obey, which are his Ten Commandments, his statutes, which are his holy days. That's what his statutes are. His holy days, which contain each of the seven steps to his plan of salvation for each and every one of us that we desperately need to know and to keep in our minds. So we need to be taking a better inventory of the basic truths and guard God's truth within ourselves so that we know that we know that we know. And prove it. Open your Bible up and read each scripture about it and know that it's God's word that is truth. But we need to be guarding that in our minds. But we need to be doing an inventory from the time that we have started our conversion. God called us, and we have been given the invitation and the knowledge to choose. And God is showing us his plan of salvation, and Jesus Christ is our Savior. He wants us to choose to believe that it's true. And you can prove it by going through the different prophecies that have never failed in the Bible. God does miracles constantly every day for all of us. And we know that there is a God. We know that Jesus Christ, his Son, came here, who is God in the flesh, and doing these miracles for us. Let's turn to the book of Jude. That is right before the book of Revelation. Let's turn to the book of Jude. And we'll start reading verses 3 through 7. Again, that's right before Revelation. Verse 3 says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation," our common salvation is God's Sabbath, his holy days, and what they mean. That's our concerning our common salvation. These are the basic things that we need to know and to be studying and to believe and know. "I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith." To contend means to, you know, battle with yourself, you know, constantly to know that we have that faith that God has given us, that it is true, that the common salvation that we know about is true. "Contend earnestly for the faith, which once was for all delivered to the saints." Who are the saints? The saints are those who are called by God to know his Sabbath and his plan of salvation through his holy days. Those that believe it and do it are his saints. Verse 4, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out." You know, he's talking here about people that knew God's truth, that were in God's church, that evidently came in for different reasons. But they were marked out. They were marked because they were probably saying wrong things against God's truth. And they were saying, you know, "Hey, we don't want you in here." They were marked out. "For this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ." They have denied believing that Jesus Christ is the Christ. And those kind of people we don't want around us. We don't want anybody that's going to hurt our faith in God. That's why we need to guard God's truth with our very being. Verse 5, "I want to remind you, though, you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroying those who did not believe." I mean, what an example that was when God led Moses and the people of Israel out of Egypt. You know, and he didn't take them on a straight trip. It was zigzag back and forth on purpose. God wanted the people of Israel to know that he was God and to depend on him for everything, even down to the food, of course, when the manna from heaven came down and he fed them and he took care of them and protected them. And when the Egyptians, who of course did not believe anything about God, and in fact they wanted to fight against God with their little G gods who could do nothing. Anyway, God destroyed them who did not believe. Verse 6, "And the angels," another example here, "and the angels who did not keep their proper domain." God made the angels for a purpose there in the heavens to do a certain job. And they did not keep their proper domain, what they were supposed to do. Satan, of course, was a super salesman. He convinced a third of the angels to turn and go with him, turned them into demons. And so anyway, the angels didn't keep their proper domain, but they left their habitation, where they were and what they were supposed to be doing. They followed Satan. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment for the great day. Well, what he's talking about here, you know, an angel which was turned into a demon, or, you know, any spirit being will never die. That's what we are hoping to do, is to be a believer and to know God's truth so that we can be changed into a spirit being and live forever in God's kingdom. That's what we want to do. But here, the angels that have defected and were turned into demons under darkness, it says here, everlasting chains under darkness, they have already been judged. These demons have already been judged. And that's what's going to happen. And then here's another example. You know, I was just speaking here about all the different laws that are being changed across the country with the homosexuality, the gay and lesbian movement that is inspired and driven and promoted by Satan today. Satan is the ruler of this earth right now, and God is allowing that to happen because we're living in a test. Our physical life that we're living in right now is a blink of the eye to God, as far as time goes. But it is a time for us to learn and to be tested. God wants us to choose Him, but it's our choice. We have that free moral agency to choose which way we want to go. We want to go Satan's way or want to go God's way. And God wants us to choose. This whole life is a time of testing. And here's another example. Speaking of this subject here, is Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, you know, they were homosexuals and did all kinds of devious sins, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, and set forth as an example, suffering vengeance of eternal fire, punishment. That's what they're going to be suffering, the punishment of eternal fire. Of God doing away with them. That's what God thinks about the gay movement, lesbian movement that is going on right now, and all the different laws that are being changed. That's what God thinks about it. He has already judged the angels, and He has already said what He did to Sodom and Gomorrah. And God wants to make sure that me and you guard His truth within us that has been given to us. It is a gift. God knew us before we were born, while we were still in the womb, and He says, I want you to have the invitation. Out of the billions of people that have been born across the world, around the world, since Adam and Eve, God knew each one before they were born, and He chose us to have the invitation for us to choose His truth, to be the first fruits in His coming kingdom. The first fruits that are going to be teaching others God's way of life. That's what the first fruits are. But God gives very strict examples here of exactly what He thinks. Let's jump over to verse 14. Verse 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of His saints, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them, and all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Verse 16. And he talks about some of the examples here of these ungodly men. These are murmurers. They are complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words and flattering people to gain advantage. Oh yeah, they want to preach their little truth that they think that they want to truth or speak, thinking that they can take advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, in the last days that we're living in right now. And, you know, we can see things that are, the time is swirling really fast. There are things happening in prophecy right now that is, we can see the time, we are drawing close to the last days. Who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. A lot of the lust of a lot of people are power. They want power and they want wealth. They are greedy. They are wanting to steal and take from others, and they're wanting to prophesy what they think to have people to follow them. Verse 19. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit of God in them. And they want to cause divisions in God's church. Again, guard God's truth with your very being. Because there are people that would like to cause divisions in God's church. And they are working according to what Satan is dictating to them. Because they don't have God's Spirit in them. They are being guided by the spirit of Satan. Verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's what we should be doing. We need to be building ourselves up in God's holy faith. And how do we get faith? We get faith from our daily Bible study by proving out of God's word that God's word is truth. And God, he gives us faith as a gift, that knowledge that he puts in us. And we learn that from prayer and fasting and by doing daily Bible study. We need that spiritual food that God has blessed us with here. So we must be doing that very diligently every day, because if not, it'd be very, very easy. Satan can sift any one of us. He is that powerful. We have to hold on with both arms to the trunk of the tree, which is God's truth, and guard God's truth every day. We must be doing, you know, what God wants us to do. We got to stay extremely close to God and be obedient. Be constantly in the forefront of your mind as you go through your life, whether you're working or having fun with your grandkids or whatever you're doing. Have God in the forefront of your mind constantly. What would God want me to do? How does God want me to think? Am I being obedient to God? Am I following His laws, or am I drifting away? We need to be constantly checking ourselves. But God wants us to keep His laws and His statutes, His holy days. And, you know, we want to avoid foolish disputes. You know, Satan will cause people to want to argue. And they love to argue about the Bible, of what their interpretation is. Don't let that happen. If people want to argue about the Bible, just excuse yourself. And say, you know, I really don't want to argue about this, but let's talk about something else. You know, try to avoid any foolish disputes. And like I said, there's a lot of people like to say, well, you know, I interpret this different out of the Bible. Well, let me tell you, the Bible interprets itself. Every word of God is true. And we are not to change one dot or one tittle of anything that is in God's word. But causing disputes is some of the ways that Satan tries to trip us up. God wants us to say, well, you know, that person brought up a pretty good point there, you know, and Satan wants you to doubt. Do not doubt. Tell Satan to get away from you, and open up your Bible, and if there's something you don't understand, ask some of us that's in the ministry, or you can get your concordance out, and you can do a lot of Bible study yourself. Also, from our home office in Cincinnati, you can go online to ucg.org and click on to libraries, and on any subject about the Bible that you want to get more in-depth information about, you can click on that and print it off yourself, or just read it right from your computer. It's not like the ancient days when they didn't even have a Bible to read from. It was only letters from the Apostle Paul and Peter and James and all the others. We have the Bible. We have the computer in these late times of our lives. So let's take advantage of that. Let's turn back to Titus 3. Timothy, Titus. At the end of 2 Timothy there, we find Titus. Titus chapter 3, and let's start reading in verse 8 through 11. Get my pages apart here. My old Bible here is getting a little bit ragged, and pages kind of stick together as well. But I'll get it apart here. Here we go. Titus 3, and we'll read verses 8 through 11. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. Affirm these constantly. Prove them yourself constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. And what are the good works that we should be doing? We should be doing things that's going to serve other people. Not just be thinking about ourselves. You know, what can I gain here for myself? Of course you want to work and do things to provide for you and your wife and your family, and maybe your grandkids and even your neighbors. But do things that are of good works, of serving others. Jesus Christ came to this earth to be a servant. He's our example. He came here to be a servant, and we are to be a servant to the people just like he did. We are to be following his example. These things are good and profitable to men and women, of course, that we should be doing good things for other people. But avoid foolish disputes. Again, avoid foolish disputes. Do not get into an argument over the Bible. Just excuse yourself and say, you know, we all have a lot of study to do, and I'm going to go home and study mine, and you go home and study yours. You know, we have to prove things ourselves. That's one of the commandments that God has for us in the Bible. Prove all things. You prove those from God's Word to avoid these foolish disputes, which are wrong. And it also talks about to avoid the foolish talking about genealogies. Well, you know, this race of people is better than that race of people, and this one does this, and this one does that. And it says to avoid that. Avoid contentions. Striving about the law. We don't want to argue about the law. We know what the law is. God has his commandments and statutes, and we know that what the law is. It's not going to change. Not going to change at all. God's law is forever. For they are unprofitable and useless to argue about these things. Reject a divisive man. That's like I was just saying. Somebody comes up to you and wants to argue about the Bible. That's a divisive person. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. You know, say, hey, you know, I'm going to go home and study my own Bible, and you go home and study yours. Verse 11, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. You know, you can be thought a fool, and then you can open your mouth up and prove it. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be condemning ourselves if there's something that we have a question about. Get into your own Bible commentaries, Bible dictionaries if you don't know the meaning of the words. There are many ways that God will explain things to us out of his Word, out of his Bible. And that's part of guarding God's truth. Our Heavenly Father wants us to depend on Him. He wants us to teach others. How? He wants us to teach others by our example. Why? Because Jesus Christ was our example, and that's who we are to follow. Jesus Christ is the key to God's kingdom. the only way in. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. Turn back a few pages here to 1 Timothy 4. That's 1 Timothy 4. Let's read verses 13 through 16. Boy, the pollen's got me this year. It's been a rough April and part May here. Okay, verse 13, 1 Timothy 4. Till I come, give attention to reading. Yes, give attention to reading. Read God's word. Pay attention to reading. To exhortation. To doctrine. Read what God's doctrine is. How he wants us to believe and think. Verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. What is a gift that's in you? It's God's Holy Spirit that God gives us, you know, with the laying on of hands, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands by the presbytery, which are his elders, his ministry. And, you know, when you're baptized, when you have repented of your sins, and you said, well, you know, I know I need to be baptized because that's what God's word tells us that we are to do. But first we are to repent of our sins. Turn from our sins and say, hey, I want to live a different way. I want to live by God's way of life and not Satan's way of death. And you change your mind and not live by the sinful ways that we all used to live by. Of course, we all sin every day, so we all have to repent every day. But before you're baptized, repent of your sins and know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Then you call on the ministry, and when you're baptized, you go down in the water, which is that watery grave. You come back up, and all of your past sins are forgiven. They are gone. And then, every day, stay close to God. Be obedient to God. Live this new way of life. Put on the new man, the Bible explains. The new person. And live by God's truth in his laws. And when you do mess up and you sin, and you will, we all do, repent instantly every day. Don't wait till nighttime to get on your knees by your bed. If you're driving down the road and a bad thought comes to your mind, repent of it there and say, God, please forgive me and cover my sins with the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't want to think that way. I'm changing. I want to be in your coming kingdom. We need to be thinking about that. And then, of course, we keep the Sabbath and we keep God's holy days. We do everything that God wants us to do. Verse 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. You know, we are in this thing called conversion. We are being converted from living our sinful way of life to living completely God's way of life, being obedient to Him, dependent on Him, praying to Him, worshiping Him. And in this process of conversion, our progress each day that we live, of the allotted days that God gives us to live, we should be taking advantage of each living day to have more progress of being obedient to God for all, so it may be evident to all, for everybody to see. And what is that? That's our example. Our example to other people, just as the example that Jesus Christ gave to the world when he walked this earth as well too. Verse 16, take heed yourself to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Your example is like a headlight on the front of a locomotive. Everybody can see it coming. And that's God's example should be that light to show other people where you stand and what you think. In the last days, we know that there will be perilous times. Oh, yeah. We're going through troubled times right now, like I mentioned earlier, about the different laws are being changed across just our country alone. And we have people around the world who hate us, who want to kill us. We are living in perilous times right now. There are terrorists that have set up camp in our country here that are wanting to destroy us. They hate Christians. They hate Jesus Christ. They don't fear God. We are living in perilous times, and we know that. We, like Christ, must suffer persecutions, and we will. Why? We're being tested. Our entire life, God is preparing us and teaching us His truth. But God has to know, before He changes us into a spirit being to live forever, spirit beings live forever, He has to know before He changes us into a spirit being that He can trust us enough that we will live through eternity obeying Him and doing what His will is, not ours. Our will has been influenced by Satan and his demons. And God says there will be none that will offend that will be in His coming kingdom. None at all. So that's what we live in this physical life. We are living to be taught and tested. There will be persecutions that will be test on us. If we are going to say, oh, yeah, I'll protect my own flesh here and in my home, and I'll do what the enemies are saying to us. No, God wants us to stand up always for His truth. We will be persecuted. But through it all, we will learn to depend more and more on God, and we will be thoroughly equipped for good works. Now, He's not just talking about the good works of today in this flesh. He has good works planned for us to do after we are changed into spirit beings. Because during the millennium, the thousand-year period, we are going to be teaching and working with others that are still alive on this earth, teaching them God's way of salvation and truth. Because God is expanding His family. That's why He has us here living in this flesh and calling us and teaching us. He wants to have a family. And that's what He is working through us with. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. We're not going to turn too far today. I don't have a real long sermon. I'm getting longer by the minute here. Pat, you'll have to wave at me if I get close to the time limit here. But let's turn to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, and let's read verses 1 through 7. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times, yes, there it is, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Oh, yes, and lovers of money. Yes, I'm looking out for number one. Take care of self. Not wanting to serve and help other people, not doing good works, but lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents. Oh, we see that every day. Unthankful and unholy. Do they ever thank God for the blessings that they're getting? Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, just doing whatever feels naturally to them. That's being without self-control, just doing whatever. Brutal, despisers of good. They look for things to do wrong, to rob and steal and hurt other people. Look out for number one. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They don't want to follow God. Satan is preaching that, oh, I can show you the easy way to have fun. We're going to have fun, and that's the way that you should be going. That's what Satan is trying to teach everybody. And instead, we should be lovers of God and not of the pleasures of this life that we're living in right now. Verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. You know, there's a whole lot of people, even in the church, that will be walking around, you know, and they will have a form of godliness about them. You know, wanting people to look at them and say, oh, yeah, that must be a real righteous person. They must be real holy. They must be really obedient to God, but they are denying the power. What power are we talking about? We're talking about the power of God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is God's power. It's not a third person. It is God's power. And from such people turn away, those that are denying God's power. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I had an aunt one time. She has been dead for several years. She lived down in Houston, Texas. And I remember as a little boy growing up, she could quote scriptures from the Bible inside and out. And she was actually very proud of that. You know, she would go around, and even amongst strangers, and she would quote scripture and everything, but she didn't live by them. She lived totally different. And you know, there are people like this that they are constantly learning and wanting to quote what their interpretation of the Bible is, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth because they are too busy working on what they want to say that's not in the Bible. Too many people like that. Let's drop down to verses 10 through 17. They're in 2 Timothy 3. Verse 10 there. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch and Lycaonium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. I mean, they were horrendous persecutions that Paul went through there. And out of them, all the Lord delivered me. He depended on God to deliver him through the persecutions. Persecutions, are we going to have them? Yes, we will. We are going to have persecutions when the law comes down and says that we have passed a law in your state and also in the federal government that says that you are not allowed to say anything against the gay and homosexual, lesbian, whatever they are, lifestyle, because you will offend them, and therefore you'll be breaking federal law if you talk about them. They are going to try to stifle God's truth. They want to wipe God out of the picture. And will we be persecuted for that? Yes, we will. No doubt at all in my mind on that. Verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's not if it's going to happen, but when. Verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. We've learned them from God's truth. Things that we have been assured of because we have proved them in the Bible. As we do our daily Bible study, we look up the scriptures, and if there's something in the scripture we don't understand, buy yourself a little commentary. They're not very expensive. Also a Bible dictionary, because there are words that you want to get the meaning of them and know what it's talking about there in the Bible. Hold on to those. Guard those. Guard God's truth. That's what God wants us to do. Why? Because He wants us to be in His family. He wants us to be in His coming kingdom. We want to be in God's coming kingdom. Satan is going to try his best to trip us all up. Hold on, guard God's truth. So what is our job for today? We are to cleanse ourselves and be useful to God. Cleanse ourselves of sin, be useful for God. For God will give us opportunity every day to do good for Him. To other people, so other people will see our example, to want to, to have them to maybe look into wanting to choose and obey God. We must come to the realization that we belong to God, and if we belong to God, we must depart from sin, change our lives, put on the new man. In fact, we are to run from sin. If anything in your life that you go through your daily life with, if something even looks like sin, run from it. Get away from it. And by living by God's laws and living by the fruits of the Spirit, we know the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. You can read those for yourself. I'm not going to go through those today. But the fruits of God's Spirit, live by those fruits of the Spirit. That should show our character, who we are. Galatians 5. Mark that down and read those yourself every day. We have those on our refrigerator because we want to be able to have those in our face. We become a new man, a new woman to enter into God's kingdom. Let's turn again here, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn back a page in my Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's start reading in verse 19. Verse 19, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Yes, it does. It stands. It never changes. God's laws, His truth, His words never changes. God's foundation, which is His truth, stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. He knows who are His. Why? He reads our hearts. He knows us. He knows us better than ourselves. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Yes, run as fast as you can from anything that sounds wrong, looks wrong, or even if you think it's wrong, run from it. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. You know, weaker things. Some of honor and some of dishonor. We have to be able to righteously judge God's righteous judgment here. Verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, which are the weaker things there, the things that are dishonorable, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the Master. Who is the Master? Our Father, our God in heaven, our Heavenly Father in His Son, Jesus the Christ. Prepared for every good work. God wants us to do good works that are honorable, that display our belief in God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Verse 22 again, he reminds us again, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. You know what we're talking about there in Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. With those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. How do you have a pure heart? Run from sin. Anything that looks like sin, smells like sin, run from it. Have a pure heart. Be obedient to God. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Again, he doesn't want us to argue with anybody because Satan will trap you. Satan will trap you in an argument and cause you to lose your faith. Just avoid it. Say, I'm going to go home and study my Bible and you go home and study yours. And just let it be that way. Knowing that they generate strife. Disputes generate strife and can cause hatreds and bad feelings and everything else. Nothing good. God wants us to think on and do good. Verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, be willing to teach God's truth when a question is asked. When a question is asked, be ready with an answer. Be patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. You know, do it in a nice way. Like, well, you know, I read God's truth, and it really doesn't say that. Maybe you ought to look into it yourself. You know, be gentle about it. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. God wants all of us to know the truth. Verse 26, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Come to their senses and know that God's way of life is the way that they should be living, because that's the only way to eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ. He died and paid the price for all of our sins. And that's how we escape the snare of the devil. Having been taken captive by him, to do his will. We don't want to do Satan's will. Again, guard God's truth. Beware and be on the outlook. You know why? We should beware and be on the outlook constantly. Because Satan will come to you as a friend. You have heard me speak about this in other sermons. Satan will come to you as a friend. He didn't come to Mother Eve as an enemy. He was listening to the conversation between her and God. And he walked up to her and he says, you know, I was just over here on the corner here. You know, I couldn't help from overhearing your conversation there with God. You know, and I just want to let you know that God was lying. He said that you would die if you eat this tree over here. God was lying. It's what the truth is. You'll be just like him. Satan will come to you as a friend. He will deceive you. He is so slick. He will only come to you as a friend. He won't show up as an enemy at your door. And he and his so-called ministers, yes, Satan has his own ministers that are preaching wrongly. That's why I said, prove all things yourself. Open the Bible up yourself. Study it daily. Know God's truth. Guard God's truth within your heart and your mind. Because there are going to be ministers, there are going to be people that Satan will send to you that will rob you of your salvation. They will rob you of God's truth, of your belief in God's truth. Please keep that in mind constantly. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, we'll read verses 14 and 15. I'll kind of hurry along here. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Yes, he does. He's not going to come to you as an enemy. He's going to come to you as a friend, as an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Yeah. According to what they do, God is judging them. That's exactly what he is doing there. With our calling and with all the teaching that God has given us, he has entrusted us with his master plan of salvation. And you know, God has entrusted us with his statutes, his holy days. Each of his holy days has a meaning, a step that goes, that one step goes with the other till all seven steps are completed, which are the steps to enter into God's kingdom. His plan of salvation are revealed in his holy days. He revealed those keys of his kingdom for us to enter into. That's why it's so important that we keep his holy days and his Sabbath. We must keep them in the forefront of our minds. We must guard and protect what our Heavenly Father has entrusted us with. Let's turn back to 1 Timothy again. 1 Timothy 6. I'm going to have to switch Bibles. I think this one's getting sticky. 1 Timothy 6. And let's read verses 20 and 21 there. Be better if I get out of 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6. Come on, pages. Okay, we're going to read verses 20 and 21. And it says here, O Timothy, and just what I'm talking about here, he says, guard what was committed to your trust. That's what God wants us to do, is to guard what was committed to our trust. What was entrusted to us is God's master plan, his plan of salvation, his Sabbath day, his holy days, which are high Sabbaths. That's what Paul is saying here to Timothy. Guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and vain babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. If you listen to what somebody says, well, this is my interpretation of the Bible, run from them. Read the Bible yourself and prove it out of the Bible. The Bible has not changed. It won't change. God's laws won't change. His holy days, his Sabbaths won't change. But we can lose our faith by listening to contradictions that somebody wants to babble to you. Don't let that happen to you. Guard God's truth. The Antichrist is coming, and in many cases is already here. Let's turn to 1 John 2, toward the back of the Bible there. 1 John 2. Let's read verses 18. We'll start in verse 18. It says, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come." Yes, they have. "By which..." Anybody that is against Jesus Christ is an Antichrist. Anybody is. So there has been many Antichrists have already come. "By which we know that it is the last hour." You know, the last hour, depending on our life. God gives us a certain number of days to live. You know, and we are in the last hour of our lives. We don't know when Christ is going to return, and we're not going to set any dates. Jesus Christ will know when God the Father tells him. Verse 19. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us in the truth. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." You know, they were going to show that they were apart from us. They were not part of us. They were going to preach their own thing. Verse 20, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One that you know all things." Anointing? Yes, when we come out of that baptismal water and the minister lays hands on your head, that's when you receive God's Holy Spirit. That is the anointing that you receive, God's Holy Spirit. And why do we need God's Holy Spirit? None of us can obey God without God's Holy Spirit, without God's power living in us, working through us, guiding us. We must have God's Holy Spirit, and we receive that as we come out of the baptismal water. Verse 21, "I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Verse 22, I believe I'm going to go to, yeah. Verse 22, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" That's who an antichrist is one who denies that and is lying about Christ, Jesus being the Christ. "He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either." We want God's Holy Spirit living in us. Living in us. Remember that. Underline that. Living in us. We want God's Holy Spirit, God living in us. "Who acknowledges the Son and the Father also." Verse 24, "Therefore, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you," if what you have heard abide in you, which is God's Holy Spirit, "you also will abide in the Son and in the Father." We must have God's Holy Spirit living in us if we want to be able to obey God and do God's will and be part of us. Because we don't belong to God if we don't have God living in us. We have to be on guard and test everything and everything that someone might say to us. We must judge righteous judgment. Is this person talking righteously? Is he talking from the Word of God, or is he babbling on about something that came out of his own head, his own interpretation? The Bible interprets itself. We must know that if a false prophet or a real prophet is around us. Let's turn to 1 John 4, just a page over. 1 John 4. Start in verse 1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. He did come here. God sent him down here for the purpose of bringing the gospel, the good news of his coming kingdom, and to be the sacrifice to pay the price for all of our human sins, for all of mankind. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard that is coming. You know, the Antichrist are against Jesus Christ and want to rob us. Satan wants to rob us of God's truth. Well, I'm going to cut it short here. I have more things that I was going to say. But test all things. Guard God's truth with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, because it's going to depend on how we overcome. Only the overcomers will be in God's kingdom. Overcome ourselves, overcome our sins, and depend on God. Jesus is the Christ, our Savior, who came to pay the price for all of us, and he did that, and we are to endure into the end. Revelation 3:10, put that down. Revelation 3:10, if you will. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you here. Revelation 3:10 through 13. Jesus speaking, "Because you have kept my command to preserve, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." We're going to be tested. We are being tested. Verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." Don't let Satan, don't let any false prophet, don't let anybody take your crown. "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God. I will write my name on him, a new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Yes, we should. Hang on. Protect, guard God's truth, because your salvation is going to depend on it. Good seeing everybody today.